Jen.
What's up, Jeffrey?
I have a secret.
Tell me.
I have captured Napoleon Hill's foundational wisdom for the 21st century.
Amazing. Let's share that with the diehards.
For a limited time, you can download the first chapter of my new book, Truthful Living, before it's released on Amazon. These easy-to-implement real-world strategies for life, family, business, and your bottom line prove as energizing and inspiring today as they were 100 years ago.
Go get the first chapter of Truthful Living for free.
For free.
It's the foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, and lectures, now compiled, edited, and annotated for the modern reader. Go to hillsfirstwritings.com and get that chapter for free.
And they all introduce themselves, and I start out at the outset by saying, hey, you know that the people that can memorize the names and go back and tell everybody what their name is? And they go, yeah. I said, I'm not one of those guys. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying, because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up, but first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. Ron White is a two-time memory champion and holds the world record for memorizing a shuffled deck of cards at 1 minute and 27 seconds. When he's not doing other worldly feats of memory, he's on the road training salespeople to help triple their sales. Ron has appeared on Good Morning America, Martha Stewart Show, Fox and Friends, the CBS Evening News, CBS Early Show, Fox and NBC, and now he has achieved the all-time great one by appearing here on Sell or Die. Diehards, please say hello to the great Ron White.
Well, thank you, sir. And I do put this definitely above Good Morning America, CBS Early Show, and a lot of those shows. So I agree wholeheartedly.
Cool. We're glad you're here. Ron, when did you realize you had a special memory?
Well, you know.
Okay, hey, wait, Ron, we can't hear you. What'd you do?
You cannot hear me?
We can hear you, but not as well as we should.
Oh, I'm using my $150 mic. Let me unplug it.
Well, no. Maybe just get closer to it.
Okay, I'm pretty close. Does it sound okay?
It's a little better now.
Okay. So, you know, one of the most popular questions is when did I realize I had this special ability? Because, you know, I've set some records and I've, held the record for the fastest to memorize a deck of cards. So the natural assumption is I have an ability that most people don't have. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, it's not true. It's a trained ability. So the answer to that question is when did I realize that I have this? And I have it, and you have it. We all have it. I was 18 years old, and I simply took a course that taught me how to do this. So it's a systematic approach that I learned.
Does it have to do with rhyming?
Well, rhyming's not a bad memory technique, but it's a little bit takes it a couple steps further than that. It really relies on a system called the Mind Palace or the Memory Palace. In the Sherlock Holmes books, Sherlock Holmes would always talk about, I'm going to be hanging out in my mind palace today. Mm-hmm. And what he was referencing is a system where you visualize a map of a building or a map of a room. So let's say a salesperson has a sales presentation of 10 points and they go in and make this, they go into the prospect and they always leave that sale. And they, when they're driving away, they're thinking, oh my gosh, I forgot this part of my presentation. Why didn't I tell them this? I know that could have made a difference. Using the Mind Palace technique, what that salesperson would do is the Mind Palace is you number pieces of furniture in your house. So they would number 5, 10, 15, 20 pieces of furniture in their house. And they would get it down so well, they would know number 8 is the microwave or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you take whatever you want to memorize and you visualize it happening on top of these pieces of furniture. So when I set the record to memorize a deck of cards, the 8th card that was played might have been the Queen of Hearts, which for me, the Queen of Hearts is my mom. It makes sense. Queen and somebody you love, a heart. So let's say the Queen of Hearts gets played and it's the 8th card that's played. Well, the Queen of Hearts is my mom and the 8th piece of furniture in my house is my microwave. So all of a sudden I imagine my mom is standing on top of my microwave.
Got it.
That's a kind of a Cliff Notes version. Whatever you want to memorize, you see it as a picture and then place it in that spot around your house.
So did you have a piece of furniture for each card?
You got a lot of furniture.
Right. Well, if you want to memorize a deck of cards, you would need 52 pieces of furniture memorized or numbered. But if you want to, the way I do it is I imagine 3 cards on each piece of furniture. So really, I only need 18 pieces of furniture to memorize a deck of cards.
Gotcha. But for a salesperson, I want to interrupt and just challenge the salesperson who's thinking right now. Our diehards are saying, "I'm not going to memorize a deck of cards." I'm going to challenge you, do that. It's hard as hell to do. And then your 10 points in your sales presentation will be a piece of cake.
That's true.
If you go from hard to easy, it's going to be very, very easy to be able to make it. And it might be fun for you to memorize a deck of cards. You don't want to do it in Vegas when you're dealing blackjack, but you know what I'm talking about. Do you go to Vegas?
Can you see me now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we can see you.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
I'm holding my microphone up here so y'all can really hear me good, but it doesn't seem – how's it down here? Is that okay?
Bad.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Well, this doesn't really apply to Vegas. In other words, Vegas has 6 decks, and it's just you're going to be too far behind.
Got it. It's too many pieces of furniture.
Yeah, they figured out that they can stop card counting by just adding another 200 cards.
Right.
Okay, so talk to us more about how this helps a salesperson when they're in a sales presentation. What are some of the common things you hear they need help memorizing, and how do you help them?
Well, so a salesperson, perhaps, how many times have they lost a sale? Like I said before, because they left out part of their presentation or Jeffrey taught them something that was really great. And when they're in their sales presentation, they don't do it. And when they're driving away, they think, oh my gosh, why didn't I say that? This is what I would suggest a salesperson to do. Get out a piece of paper and draw a map of your house and, draw a box and map out each room. And in each room, I want you to pick 5 pieces of furniture. So imagine you're standing in the doorway of every room in your house. You're standing in that doorway and look to the left and then just go around that room and pick 5 pieces of furniture.
For example, you can see a little bit of the room I'm in right here. We might make number one. We might make number one over here. Maybe these curtains right here. Mm-hmm. Number two could be this money that I picked up whenever I was in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's a great tourist spot, you know.
Yeah, you want to make sure you keep your money in case you ever have to go into Amex and American Express and cash it in.
That's right, yeah. So that's probably worth about 30 cents. And number three might be this picture of this camel right here. And number four might be that Budapest sign. And number five might be that mask that you can kind of see over there. Now, typically, I would not pick my number of spots in a room exactly like that because they're all so close together. But this kind of gives you the idea. So number one is that curtain. Number two's there. Number three's there. Four's there. Five's there. If I was a salesperson, I would do this in every room. I would pick five spots in every room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then once I had it down so well that I knew 8 was the microwave, 9 was the sink, 10 was the shower or whatever. That's probably not a good example. That's kind of a jacked up room if 8's the microwave and 10 hours in the same room.
Gotcha.
But you get the idea. Then take your sales presentation that you have. You've got, you know, you want to ask them this question and you want to ask them this question. You want to ask them this question. You want to ask them this question. I would imagine those questions as pictures. Imagine those questions as images and then see that first question right here. So, you know, a question, you know, might be, you know, what kind of car are you looking for? Or, you know, or it might be, what are you looking to do with this car? So maybe you might see off-roading right here because that's a common response. They want to go off-roading in that vehicle. But something that reminds you to ask that prospect, what do you want to do with this car? Then maybe you have another question you want to ask them. Put that right there. And imagine it. Imagine it interacting with the camel. Imagine it interacting with the money. And then when you're talking to this person, you're just kind of walking around your house and you're doing it casually. It doesn't sound corny if you practice it. But doing it this way, you never forget a point of a presentation. You never forget a point that you want to say.
Jeffrey?
Yeah?
Do you remember that moment that Nick Foles caught the game-winning touchdown pass?
Yes. In my heart of hearts, I knew we had won the Super Bowl, even though it was only the end of the first half. Brilliante! Now, I've been training salespeople for decades, and I still get that exact same feeling every time I make a sale, every time I help a salesperson make a sale.
Caught! Foles! Touchdown!
I'll be giving a seminar in Philadelphia on sales leadership on October the 18th and sales mastery on October the 19th at the Chubb Hotel and Conference Center. Get your tickets before they fly, Eagles fly away.
Go to cgittimer.com/Philadelphia or go find that link in the show notes.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
As you know, you and I are both friends of Kyle Wilson.
Yes, I talked to him today.
And Kyle has had you on several occasions to do weekend events where maybe 10 or 20 people show up and get your memory course, correct?
Correct.
How does it do when you talk to people in a group? Can they all relate to the same thing? Do they all go through the same exercise? Do they all end up winning in the end?
Yeah. You know what I tell people is on average, everybody is going to triple their memory improvement whenever they're able to do this. And this is what I mean. Right now, if I gave you a list of 20 words and you were able to remember two or three with your natural memory, when you do this, when you start using pieces of furniture, and then instead of just using your natural memory, you imagine it on pieces of furniture. Now I give you 20 words and you see them around the room. The average person at least triples their memory, triples what they're able to recall doing it this way. Some people take it much further, but that's average.
Wow.
That's amazing. I can remember my phone number for when I was growing up in Atlantic City. But I can't remember my daughter's phone number that I used yesterday because I go to speed dial.
That's right. It's programmed in.
Yeah. Is new technology eliminating the need for memory?
You know, that's a good question. I think it, in some instances, new technology is eliminating the need to remember phone numbers, or even, you know, you got GPS now that helps us out so much, that technology. But
true, you don't even have to remember where the hell you're going. You set a map and some girl comes on and says, turn left.
That's right. But you know what? On the flip side of that, they tell us that, you know, our knowledge is doubling at a very fast rate. In like 1900, the knowledge of humanity was doubling like every 100 years. And mm-hmm. I think in like 1950, and I'm going to get this statistic wrong probably, but it was, you know, doubling every 20 years. Now it's doubling at so much more of a rapid rate that I think we have more to memorize and more to know. We're not having to learn phone numbers anymore or GPS, but I think there's so much other things that we do have to know that it kind of off balances.
So I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go.
No, you go, Jenny.
So, we now have a thing here called Fitness Fridays. And when we showed up last week, there were six of us and one trainer. And we all know each other, right? And so everyone only had to remember the one trainer's name. But he had to remember six new people's names. And it's the same kind of thing. And he was phenomenal at it. Within minutes, he knew everyone's name, was repeating everyone's name, and didn't mess anyone up with the other person. I was so amazed. And it's the same thing for a salesperson where they're going into a meeting with 10 new people. Everyone knows the salesperson's name, but the salesperson has to quickly memorize everyone's name in that room. What do you recommend they do? I mean, do they use this house technique, or are there other techniques for names?
Yeah, and you know what? And that is one of the most, you know, Dale Carnegie wrote in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, everybody's favorite subject is themselves. Mm-hmm. The sweetest sound to their ear is the sound of their own name. And when we can remember names, you know, you're a salesperson, somebody's come and they talk to you about your product, and 6 weeks later you see them at the Phillies game, right? You see them there and you're like, oh my gosh, I know that guy's name. I can't think of his name. And right. You don't go talk to him, and maybe you miss out on referrals or the sale. How do you overcome this? How do you remember names?
You walk up to the guy and go, dude, I forget your name.
Or this is Jen. And then I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. And then they usually say their name.
Yeah.
It is. To memorize it, what I would suggest you do, it's kind of the same as you see these spots. And so you want to remember let's go back to this analogy, and then it'll help us understand names. Let's say the third word you want to memorize, or let's say the first word you want to memorize is water. So you would see water coming on those curtains over there. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that you want to memorize is a dog. So you'd see a dog eating that money. And then the next thing you want to memorize as a telephone. So you might see this camel and imagine it on a phone. What we're doing here is we're taking what we want to memorize and we're placing it in a location where we can go back and get it later. It's the exact same thing with names and faces. The only difference is you don't place that person's name on a piece of furniture where you can go back and get it later. You place the picture on something on their face. So this is what I do. As a salesperson, I walk into a room. The first thing that I do is I look at all their faces and I'm like, oh, that guy, he's got big ears. That lady's got pretty eyes. Oh, that guy's got a big nose. That guy's got a distinctive chin. That guy's bald. That guy has a beard. And I'm zoning in on unique features. Now, here's the deal. I don't tell them what I think is unique about their face.
Okay? Especially if they're so slightly enlarged.
Or like, hey, baldy.
Right.
Yeah, there was an Office episode or, you know, a TV show, and they were doing that. But yeah, you don't tell them what they're, but you do zone in on something unique about their face. Let's say you walk into this meeting and there's a woman right there and she's got beautiful eyes. The first thing that you notice is those eyes. So you zone in on those eyes. You don't know her name yet, but you're zoned in on her eyes. And then she said, hey, my name is Lisa. Well, think of a picture for the name Lisa. What could a picture for the name
Mona Lisa?
Boom, there you go. So now all of a sudden you're painting the Mona Lisa in her eyes.
Because it's known for its eyes anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so you're painting the Mona Lisa in her eyes. And then you look over at the next guy and maybe he's got really huge ears. And so you're zoning in on his ears, but you're like, hello, sir. My name is Ron. What's your name? He says, my name is Bryant. For me, a Brian is always a brain. So I see a brain oozing out of that guy's ears. Now, if it had been his nose was the unique feature, I would have imagined a brain oozing out of his nose. Now, I know what you're thinking.
Maybe I'm already thinking it. That's correct.
You're thinking, this is wrong. This is too much work. This is never going to work. And it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't work for about 2 or 3 months, or 2 months. Let's say 2 months. But if you can get past that 6 or 8 weeks of trying to think of people's names and pictures.
Because it does sound like work.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
And I'm shit at it. I mean, I'll go into a room and there'll be half a dozen people there waiting to meet me to talk about their event or whatever it is. And they all introduce themselves. And I start out at the outset by saying, hey, you know that the people that can memorize the names and go back and tell everybody exactly what their name is? And they go, yeah. I said, I'm not one of those guys. So I've already excused myself from the fact that I won't. And what I try to do is get them to put tent cards up with their name on it so I can at least, you know what I mean? I can at least
use their name correctly.
Yeah, exactly. But I'd rather have a technique where I could do it and I could do it easily or readily.
Yeah, and you know what? And you have so much charisma and a style about you. You can get away with a lot of things the average person can't.
That's true.
That's true.
But I'm certainly not going to want to call Bob Mary. You know what I mean?
Well, you have a brain for that.
So I pictured the CEO of the company standing on a toilet and, you know, I don't – I mean, can you make it outlandish?
Yeah, you can, and you do need to do that. And here's what I would suggest to people because – you know, it sounds cumbersome, and it is, but the cumbersome and the difficulty is really in the first 4 to 6 weeks. I'm lucky enough that I heard about this 27 years ago when I was 18.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been doing this 27 years. So, but I was 18. So when I was 18, I thought, wow, that sounds fun. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So I spent the next 6 to 8 weeks, every time I met a person, I would be at the grocery store and I'd see a name tag. I'd turn it into a picture. I would turn my waiter's name into a picture. I would be driving down the road and see a billboard and I would turn that name into a picture. And here's the thing. Once you turn the name Lisa into a picture and you decide Lisa's the Mona Lisa, you use that for every Lisa. Once you determine Brian is a brain, you use that for every Brian.
What's Jennifer? So,
Jennifer, I use gin, a drink of gin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe if I need to know the difference between gin and Jennifer, maybe I see the glass of gin, and if it's Jennifer, it has fur around the rim of it or something, gin fur.
And what's Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, yeah. Every Jeff for me is a chef, and every Jeffrey is a chef that's reading. So I imagine he's got a chef's hat on.
Oh, you're a smart chef.
Yeah. He's reading the book there.
So what's the difference between smart and smart ass?
So are there like apps or games that you recommend or diehards play to improve their memory?
Yeah, you know, there are, you know, websites out there. You know, they're not affiliated with me in any way, but I guess there are, you know, brain games, websites that you can play. For me, the way I would encourage somebody to get good at names is play a game just in their own brain. And here's the game that you play in your own brain. Every time you meet somebody for the next 6 to 8 weeks, turn their name into a picture. That's step one. Every time you go somewhere for the next 6 to 8 weeks, maybe you're at the airport and you're not even talking to them, but they're just sitting across from you at the airport. Look at their face and ask yourself, what stands out to me about this person's face? Is it their nose, their eyes, their ears, their wrinkles, their beard, whatever? If you'll do those two things, practice turning names into pictures and then practice observing people's faces for distinctive features.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great brain exercise, but it's also laying the groundwork to get good at names. Because to get good at names, you have to observe the face and have a picture for the name. And then kind of just tie those two.
It doesn't sound that hard.
It's not really. You know, I recently memorized 155 names in 15 minutes.
Wow.
So it's
seriously, whoa.
Yeah, when I go to a conference, I'll stand at the door and I'll say, hey, my name's Ron. It's good to meet you. And that person will give me their name. And I'll get about 200 names. And then I'll get up on stage. I'll say, if you met me, stand up. 200 people will stand up. And then I'll run through the audience and I'll repeat all 200 people's names. And
it helps if they have name tags on, right?
I do ask them to put their hands over their name tags. But I guess what I'm saying is I didn't start there. 27 years ago,
yeah.
I remember the first time I ever I know where you are right now, because 27 years ago, I walked into my first speech. I was 18 years old. I was the memory expert. I was there to sell them on buying memory training. There was five people in the room, and I only asked three of them their name because I was so unsure that this system would work for me, that I only tried to remember three names. Now I'll do 200, but I hate to say it, it just comes to practice and getting pictures for names.
Wow.
That's amazing, though. I have always marveled at somebody's ability to remember that kind of thing. I've seen you, obviously, and I've seen maybe one or two other people.
And amateurs.
Yeah, they typically... It's the same complex process. There's nothing easy about it. You have to remember something. One guy rhymed with something, but I never felt it was my technique. Mm-hmm. I never felt it was my strategy that I could just go out and improve. But you've given our audience some insight by saying, dude, you got to work at it.
You do got to work at it. You do.
And do you have a course that helps people work at it? Do you have an online course?
I do. It's you know, I call it black belt memory. It's like, you know, when you're the best at Taekwondo, you're a black belt.
Yeah.
So I called it black belt memory.
I like it.
I thought it's like if you can't remember exactly what I'm teaching you, I come over to your house and beat the crap out of you.
Well, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm not going to do that, but yeah.
And where can they go to ronwhite.com? How do they find that?
No, if they go to blackbeltmemory.com, cool. I have a free gift there. And it has a PDF with some memory tips. So it's blackbeltmemory.com.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Guys, I was going to say, if you don't remember that, it'll be in the show notes.
Diehards, if you have trouble remembering that URL, we'll have it in the show notes.
Right.
I guess you can bust people's balls all the time about not remembering things, right?
Well, you know, I guess I could, but it happens more in the reverse, to be honest with you. Mm. You know, people will walk up to me and they'll be like, hey, what's my name?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. He goes, oh, no, you know, you spoke at a conference 13 years ago in Tahoe. There was 500 people in the audience and you knew my name that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, come on. No.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, recently a guy said that to me and I said, you know, I felt he was kind of being a jerk, so I kind of flipped it back on him, and I said, well, man, I only remember the important people, so.
Well done.
Oh, cool. Hey, thank you so much for coming on our show.
No, thank you. It's an honor. Totally. You know, last thing I want to say is when I got started in this business 27 years ago, I had really five idols and mentors that I looked up to, and Jeffrey Gittimer is one of them, and so this is such a tremendous honor. The day I met you at that success symposium and you said to me, get that picture off your website, you look like a schmuck. I was the happiest guy on the planet. Jeffrey Gittimer knew who I was.
I actually had done some research on everyone who was going to be there.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that I had something to talk to them about. It's important, you know, regardless of how you remember their name, you certainly have to remember the characteristics of the human being.
Right.
And especially for the memory thing, because everyone always wants to remember everything and they just freaking can't.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing I want to ask before you go. As a speaker, a keynote speaker, oftentimes, like I use slides, I never forget anything. All I have to do is click. But a lot of people give a keynote address where they don't use any slides. They just speak. And if you've ever seen a comedian with a monologue, they don't forget where they are. But oftentimes a speaker will be in the middle of their speech and forget something or forget where they are in the speech because they've memorized it and they can't recall it. What can prevent that?
Well, honestly, the way I first learned my memory speech, the speech that I give today, is with this system. I numbered 20 pieces of furniture in my house, and on this piece of furniture, I put a name tag because I knew I needed to talk about how to remember names. On this piece of furniture, I put a palace because I knew I needed to teach the mind palace technique. So when I'm up there on that stage, I'm just moving from piece of furniture to piece of furniture in my brain, talking about what I need to talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, after 27 years, I just got it. But when I first started, that's how I learned it. But if I ever get thrown off and asked a question, it's easy to pick up, okay, I was on the dresser. Now I just got to move to the TV. And And one more example of this, I served in the military and I was in Afghanistan. And when I got back from Afghanistan in 2007, I decided I wanted to memorize everybody who died in Afghanistan to pay tribute to them. So there's 2,300 of them. So I numbered 2,300 pieces of furniture. And then I memorized their rank, their first name, their last name. It's 7,000 words. And I travel around the United States with a wall that looks like the Vietnam Wall. And I write out all 7,000 words from memory. But oftentimes people will come up to me when I'm writing that and they'll ask me a question. And then so I'm thrown off. So then I got to go back to the wall. And it's easy. I just look at the wall. I'm on 1,417. Okay, now I need to go to my 1,417th piece of furniture and just write that name. So you can get interrupted and go right back to it.
Wow, yeah, I don't know if I can remember that many pieces of furniture, to be honest.
I got sofa and chair so far. But listen, I mean, hats off. It works for you.
Yeah.
And it can work for somebody. The thing that got me about the speakers that forget where they are in the middle of their speech, to me, without the memory technique, they were memorizing it in their head, not right. in their heart.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you're speaking from your heart, it's a hell of a lot easier to stay on point.
I thought you were going to say not from their sofa, but you know.
Oh.
But, you know, that's an excellent point. They're just in a rhythm. They're not even really internalizing what they're saying. And that's a great point.
Yeah.
So we certainly wish you well. Maybe you and me and Kyle can get together for a hot dog or something in Dallas. You don't actually live in Dallas, though, right? Where do you live?
I live in Fort Worth.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
You should come to the seminar.
We're giving a talk in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when the,
Hold on. It's October 24th and 25th.
Oh,
I think,
awesome.
I think.
And it's right out by the airport.
My memory might be failing me, but exactly. I think that's when it is.
But it's right out by the airport.
I will be there, and Kyle just texted me while we were on this podcast, so I will tell him you said hello.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday. And another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.